Okay, we got some sound. I tell you what, we've probably got a good mission conference coming because the devil already started fighting this morning. Amen. We got a number of our missionaries already in, so we praise the Lord for that. Some people actually, I think, got scared and started to leave a while ago when that fake announcement came on. I've been telling the church for years we did not want to modernize too much. The devil's in that. Didn't Jesus say he saw Satan fall from heaven like lightning? And he's the prince and power of the air. I've always believed he fought the PA system here at Landmark. Some of y'all remember that. We've had some challenges with that before, but it was kind of funny this morning. I knew immediately that was not applying to us. Brother Burt pointed out we don't have elevators yet. Anyway, if it gets bad enough, I bought a pair of $2 wire cutters at home. I'll bring them with me. We'll fix this thing, amen. All right, open your Bibles to the book of John this morning. I asked Brother Parsons, he wanted me to continue the regular Sunday school this morning, and because we are starting off mission conference today, and got some good things planned this week, and I hope you'll be faithful to it every way that you can. We've been going through the book of John here now, chapter by chapter and verse by verse, and I'm going to review a little bit here in chapter 6 and move on. Now, it's a long chapter, about 70 or 71 verses, and it ends in what we would call apostasy. A lot of the disciples of the Lord Jesus that had been following him went back. And of course, we live in a day and time today where we see, I think the Bible describes it perhaps as the great falling away period. I'm not so sure about what we've been in that for a good while. This election thing coming up will show how far and how fast we're falling, I think. And sadly, I'm not... Somebody says, well, preacher, is the church supposed to tell us how to vote? I don't care if they tell you how or not. I'll tell you how I'm going to vote. The truth is, I'm going to vote my Bible views. And if you don't know what they are, I don't know. If you don't know by now, I want to tell you what. Just look at the issues and see where the Bible lines up. See where God lines up. You shouldn't have any problem. I speak a word to the ladies. I'm hearing the gossip on the TV, the fake news talking about. The ladies will go vote, but the men won't. That's a shame on the men. But ladies, you ought to vote, but you ought to vote right. I understand that the woman running for president says that wives ought to disobey their husbands. We already knew she was nuts. I don't know whatever thing else she was going to say. But you just help yourself on that all you want to. So I went to Landmark and the preacher said, yeah, but that was the preacher emeritus. Now look that word up, because I'm not sure what it means. I thought it meant retired, but I'm not so sure about that sometime. But in all reality, folks, there's some major issues, some moral issues, economy and all that. But I want to tell you something. The economy is important, but it's not the whole thing. And the truth of the matter is, whichever one of them gets elected, we'll probably go deeper in the hole financially anyhow. But what I fear is going deeper in the hole of God's judgment upon our sin. And the truth is, we better watch out for that. The issues are very, very important. Bible truths are very important. And right now, with the world heating up for World War III, and that's what it looks like is developing fast, America better stay on the right issue with Israel. And I fear if it goes the wrong way in the election, that'll bring God's judgment on us about faster than most anything else we can do. And we better watch out for that. Anyway, let's go into John chapter 6. I'm going to review just a little bit here. It's a long chapter, like I said. I'm going to ask you to let's review a little bit by, remember Christ now, he's doing the miracles. He feeds the 5,000. He's got a crowd following him. He knows why they're following. He knows some of them have seen the miracles, but they also are after the physical food that he'd put out. And so he says that to them in verse 27 of John chapter 6. Labor not for the meat which perisheth. Now, the word meat in the scripture oftentimes is bread as well as actual meat, but it's called meat. So they got the feeding of the 5,000, the bread and the fishes. And he knew they were following him for that reason. Today, truthfully, that's still what's going on today. The big handouts that's going on, the big giveaways that's going on. By the way, one of the issues you hear talked about now, and you don't have to hear it in the news, just go to the store and find out that inflation is very real. That's a hidden tax, folks. That's the biggest tax, if you get right down to it. And the more giveaways the government gives, the bigger the inflation, faster it climbs. And what that means is it means your money don't buy what it used to buy. Means it's becoming more worthless all the time. If you want to know what that will do to a government and to a nation, read a little history about how it happened to Germany. That's what brought Hitler upon the scene. The money in Germany got to the place that it was not even worth taking to the store. It wouldn't buy anything. I have somewhere in my archives of my old office, I have pictures of those days in Germany back in the 20s and early 30s, where I got a picture of a woman, it was cold weather. She had saved up a big bottle of money. It got cold, she put it in the stove to start the fire, to burn the paper. And all kind of stories like that, because it had become totally, totally worthless. Wouldn't buy anything. Fellow said he took a wheelbarrow loaded with money to go uptown and found out the wheelbarrow was worth more than all the money that he had in it. That's inflation of what it'll finally do to you. And so that's in the issues now also. But anyway, please do this. Go vote. If you haven't already, go ahead and vote, because the truth of the matter is, I don't want to stand before God and say I did have a chance to at least try to stand for what was right. I'm certainly not going to go along with this thing. Now, they say, well, the election's going to be won over the abortion issue. Well, I don't want to stand before God and say, you made a mistake, Lord. You intended for that baby to be born, but I voted to kill it. Think on it a little bit. Yeah, a man and a woman can get together and a baby can have a body start to be formed. But listen, God's the only one who gives life. I told somebody recently, and I had not thought of this for many years. Many years ago, I read or heard that science could develop a hen egg that would look just like a hen egg. Even you could put it in the frying pan and it would taste like a hen egg. But one thing, if you put it down the old setting hen, it would never hatch out. It had no life. Life comes from God. I don't have God say, I intended for that baby to live, but you second guess me and you decide to kill it. Better watch out for that, folks. Think on that just a little bit. Life comes from God. And so there's some issues in this election. We ought to be careful. Somebody said, what are you going to vote on the amendments? I'm going to vote no on both of them. I told you I'd tell you what I'd do personally. You say, well, even ex-President Trump said, go ahead and vote for the marijuana. I don't care if he did. He was right on one of them. He ought to get right on both of them. The truth of the matter is, it won't matter if you have a head-on collision where that guy was drunk on legal or illegal marijuana. And you can absolutely see people out of their mind with it. And just like alcohol can, nobody wants to meet a drunken driver. Well, you can get drunk off of other things too, and you can get drunk off of marijuana. You say, well, it's got some good medical. Listen, anytime you smoke anything that takes smoke into your lungs, I don't care whether it's rabbit tobacco, old-fashioned tobacco, marijuana, the smoke that delivers it is killing you, whether you know it or not. Truthfully. Now, you might get a marijuana pill that takes care of an ache of pain, or maybe they'll make some oil out of it and rub it on a joint. I don't know. All that's different. That's a little bit different. There might be some medical value, but I'm just not going to agree to have some kid sick in the head from smoking marijuana and claiming it's legal. It don't matter whether it's drunk on alcohol or marijuana. If you meet them on the road and you have an accident over it. All right, that's my political statement now. Anytime that you vote, you ought to vote what you believe the Bible issue is. Every time. I want to note here in John chapter 6, the Lord told them to labor not for the meat that perish. He knew why they were following him. And the 10th commandment says, I shall not covet. And the truth is, even in an election like this, it's who gives the most away. What can I get for free? You look at my face this morning, it's all bandaged up because I used to stand out in the sunshine too much, work in the sunshine too much. What it really is telling you is, as Brother Nixon was singing a while ago, we're getting old. And we're having repairs. Anytime you repair something, you have to go to taping it up. You know that's a temporary fix, don't you? I mean, you get the duct tape out, you're not permanently fixing anything. You're just holding it together for a little longer. So that's what they're doing with me right now. They got me taped together. And the trouble is, they tell me I got to go back and get some more. So my. But anyway, I thought I'd go ahead. You were all polite. You were ignoring it. Nobody asked me hardly anything about it this morning. I thought, that's nice. They're kind anyway. But the truth is, it's taped together. It's temporary. All that they can do for me is like rearranging the deck chairs on the Titanic. It's a waste of time. The whole thing's going down. That's all there is to it. But don't worry, I got a new body ordered. Come in any day. Be announced with a trumpet, amen. All right, I'm messing around now. I want you to look at the verse here. We've covered it before. I'm just going to abbreviate some here in the chapter as we, in chapter 6 here, take a note. Jesus said to them here about not laboring for the meat that perisheth. And then they ask him a question here in verse 28, a question he don't really answer if you read it real close. It says in verse 28, then said they unto him, what shall we do that we might work the works of God? Now, what's the word here, works, with an S on it? Works of God. Works of God. Now, his answer comes in the next verse, but he don't really answer the question. Jesus answered and said unto them, this is the work, no S on that one. Every letter in the Bible is important. That's why we take such a stand on the Bible that we do. You can change a doctrine by just missing out a letter, just changing a little bit. So they said, how can we do the works of God? Tell us how we do the works of God. And then Jesus switches back and he says, the work, singular, not plural. You have folks, Brother Mullins, you know out there, you have folks when you're talking to them, you tell them salvation is not by works. It's by the grace of God, not works of righteousness which we have done. And then they'll come up, well, it's a work to believe. No, man's work can be believed, but God's work is God's work, and the act of believing is not a work when you believe the work God did. The difference in the word plural and the word single there makes a difference in the doctrine. See, it was the work of God sending his son to die on the cross and becoming sin for us and paying for our sin, that by his grace we receive salvation free. That's God's work. Man's works, long list of them. In the election or anything else you're hearing about, they always, it's amazing how people want to believe everything they invent is a work of God. Isn't it? You think about it. People want to, as it were, seemingly try to intimidate God into agreeing with them. God's work is different from your works. You're not saved by your works. The Bible says, lest any man should boast. So just one S there on the word, singular or plural? Plural for man's work, singular for God's. So Jesus, in answering the question, just takes them from their falsehood, believing they could work their way, works that God would accept, to the word work, God's work. He shows them a difference between the two. So he says in this verse, this is the work of God, that ye believe on him whom he hath sent. It's a good thing to remember if you're witnessing to your loved ones and you're trying to tell them saved by grace. People have this thing in them that they've got to earn their way. They got to be good enough to go to heaven. They got to do this, 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 and this. Oh no, my friend, you won't get there by your own deeds, your own works. And it's the truth of the word of God that man's works, when offered to God for salvation, the Bible uses the illustration over in Isaiah of our own righteousness as being like filthy rags. Filthy rags was, you know, you look in my garage, I got an old greasy rag, an old dirty rag. No, much more than that. What it meant in the Bible, the filthy rag was the rags the old lepers had to wear, wrap around a hand that had leprosy or a toe or foot. And oftentimes, walking down one of those roads, you'd see a finger or a toe wrapped up in a corruption and a rag. It was a filthy rag. So when the Bible uses that, it was showing you how far distance away man's works are from God's works. We're saved by his righteousness, what he provided, by his work. And we cannot earn it. We cannot deserve it. We cannot be, you can be good. You ought to be good because you are saved. But don't ever be good thinking that's going to save you. There's a big, big difference between the two. Now, here, this is earlier, a little bit earlier on in John 6. We're going to find out at the end of John 6 how a lot of the disciples, not the original 12, but a lot of the others that followed for the breads and fishes and the miracles that they saw, they finally give them a hard saying, and they can't accept it, and they quit following him. Have you ever seen that in church? Have you seen folks come and seem like for a while they were really blessed and happy to hear, and then all of a sudden maybe the preacher preaches on tithing or something else that just disturbs them? I've seen that through the years. Or some pet sin they were enjoying that he said, that's not pleasing to God, and here's the scripture on it, but I'll find me another preacher that won't mention that. You know what I'm talking about. You've seen that. Follow for a little while, but the seed, the truth, don't take much root. It don't grow. And sadly, that's true. Now, we'll see in this end of this chapter, we'll see that apostasy. In the meantime, let's see what the hard saying was that caused them to all turn and want to leave. So jump way over with me now to verse 53. We've kind of gone through some of this before, and I'm just reviewing it here a little bit. Verse 53, then Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, except ye eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, ye have no life in you. Now we're going to find out. This is what they couldn't understand. They couldn't understand the spiritual truth that he was trying to teach them here. And even though there's a big discussion that goes on, he says in verse 54, whoso eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is meat indeed, my blood is drink indeed. He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me, and I in him. As the living Father hath sent me, and I live by the Father, so he that eateth me even he shall live by me. Boy, that's pretty hard. They said, you don't get this. You know, there's whole so-called church movements built on this misunderstanding, just like these folks that dropped out and quit following Jesus. They didn't understand. For instance, in the Lord's Supper, when we remember the Lord Jesus took the bread and said, take, eat, this is my flesh. Here, listen, he didn't break off a finger and give it to him to eat. It was a spiritual application. And all the scripture clears that up for you. When you, the best interpreter of scripture, of course, is scripture. So when he gave him the drink, the grape juice, and he said, here, drink this. This is my blood. No, he was not bleeding. He had not been to the cross. They understood what he was talking about. Yet today you have religious movements that still believe. And they serve what you and I would call the Lord's Supper. They'll call it communion or other things. Sacraments, which is a word that's not right. But, okay, they say if the priest prays over it, then that prayer turns that literal bread into literal flesh and that literal juice into literal blood. Now, you know better than that. And I know better than that. We don't supposed to check our brains at the door when we come into a church building. We're supposed to still be able to think common sense. Now, I almost had an embarrassing moment one time many years ago. I went to a funeral of a family and a man I knew, and his church believed, I guess they believed that, and so, you know, I've been in the county here a long time, over 50 years now, and I just went in to pay my respects at the funeral home and walk out, and that was it. But one of their ministers spotted me. So he just come to me and just about three times, Brother Mullins, before I was trying to be nice, yes, good, you know, I'm got to go. He kept on. He said, you don't believe that the literal flesh and the literal blood of Jesus, do you? We got to take that to be saved. I said, no, I probably don't. I'll see you later. But I couldn't get away from him. He followed me all the way from down where the casket was, almost to the door to leave. He's still and getting pretty loud about it. Kind of embarrassing. Finally, I said to him, I said, no, sir, I don't believe that, and neither do you. He said, what? Oh, I do. I said, all right, at your next time you receive the cup, just before you pray over it, let me pour a little arsenic in it. But you're going to pray over it and change it, so you're not afraid of that. Oh, well, I said, no, you wouldn't drink it if you saw me pour the arsenic in it. Even you pray over it all you want to, it's still going to have arsenic in it when you drink it. He shut up, I got out of there. But that's just as stupid as it can be. Now, your Bible interprets itself. You find over, and I, time-wise, got to watch it. If you want to go over to 1 Corinthians chapter 10, pick it up in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 3 and 4. And the reference is back, and in our context of John 2, the manna that was given in the wilderness in the 40 years in the wilderness, the manna sent from God, and Jesus said, I'm the true bread that God has sent. He was talking spiritual, making a spiritual application. So when I get over 1 Corinthians chapter 10, pick it up in about verse 2. Talk about they were all baptized under Moses in the cloud and in the sea. That's when they crossed the Red Sea under the cloud of God's glory. And says in verse 3, and did all eat the same spiritual meat. What's he talking about? He's talking about the Israelites coming out of Egypt, God referring to feeding them with spiritual meat. Look at it here, and spiritual drink. Move on down to the next verse. And did all drink the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. Now we know the story, how Moses was told to smite the rock and the water came out. But the water came out of a physical rock, and it was physical water that took care of them. But the rock spiritually was a type of Jesus Christ, who is the rock of ages. We sang the song, and the church was built upon the rock, the truth that Jesus was Christ, all of that. But Jesus is making a spiritual application. So we have sense enough to know when he's making the spiritual analogy to the rock, the spiritual analogy to his flesh, and the spiritual analogy to his blood. And so this was the hard saying. Now notice that's what they say on down here. These things, it says back to John chapter 6 and verse 59, these things said he in the synagogue as he taught in Capernaum. Verse 60, many therefore of his disciples, when they had heard this saying, said, this is a hard saying, who can bear it? They didn't understand it. By the way, folks, you'll never understand the Word of God until you get born again and have the Spirit of God within you. I've told the story many times that when I graduated high school right here in this town, I was unsaved and hardly ever went to church, didn't understand anything about it. But I got a notice from a church here in town that all the graduates was going to get a gift to come on Sunday morning. So a number of my graduating class and myself went to the church, and the preacher preached. I don't know what he preached. I don't remember anything much about it, except they called the graduates down front. And they gave us all Bibles. Now, they were King James Bibles back then. There was nobody else, no issue about the perversions. But anyway, gave us a Bible, a nice little gift. When I got home, I looked at it, opened the page. It said $2. They had paid $2 right on the fly page of the Bible. You couldn't probably get it for that now. But anyway, I took it home and, of course, did not read it. Mother put it in the trunk. Old-fashioned families had a trunk. That was the filing cabinet. That was where the archives were, everything. And so she put it in the trunk, big old trunk. Years later, I don't know, 3-4 years maybe later, I come in one night and I made up my mind I'm going to go to bed early tonight, but I think I'll read the Bible through before I go to bed. I heard somebody said there was a strong man in there named Samson. I wanted to read about him. So I said, Mama, that Bible they gave me when I graduated, where is it? She says, it's in the trunk. She went and dug it out. She was glad I was asking for a Bible. And I sat down to read it that night. I was foolish enough to think I was going to read the Bible that night. I started reading. In the beginning was the Word. And so I went on down. Directly I hit something that stopped me. And so-and-so begat so-and-so, and so-and-so begat so-and-so. And that's where I had stopped. Dad had come in by that time, and he was a lot more educated than I, and I said, Daddy, what's begat mean? He said, well, son, and he done his best. I read a little more, and then I got where the angel was outside the Garden of Eden with a flaming sword and wouldn't let him back in. He was a cherubim. I said, what is the world as a cherubim? And Daddy tried to explain to me that's some type of angel. I just folded that Bible back up, give up. Years went by, I don't know, another three probably, and I met the girl that wouldn't go with me anywhere but church, and I got saved after about the fourth time, and she was smart enough, I told you last week, to buy me a good Bible, and you know what the difference was when I started reading it, I could understand the difference. See, I had no Spirit of God with me, I had just pure old natural ignorance is all I had when I tried to read the Bible to start with. But boy, the next time I read it, oh, I still discover things in the Word of God after all these many years. But the difference is I got a teacher on the inside. We call him the Holy Spirit. That brings the light. And even when I hit a puzzling part, He'll lead me somewhere else. The next thing I know, I've got the biblical answer and the assurance of what the truth here is talking about. And I say to you, the Bible says the natural man understandeth not the things of the Spirit, that they are spiritually discerned. That means you need the Holy Spirit on the inside. The preacher preaches, we get a blessing out of it. But like every preacher, we ask before we preach, God, please fill us with the Spirit. Let the Spirit of God minister to hearts out there, because God is still the giver of life, as I said earlier, and he's the one that'll put the light on his truth. And so I never had any problem reading this, that Jesus was expecting me to be accountable and eat his flesh and drink his blood. No, I knew that was an analogy. And then if you read the whole story that he's referring to back in the manna in the wilderness and all that, you understand he was making that. You see, I'm in Christ now. He's in me. That's a spiritual truth. And when I partake of the Lord's Supper, I do not think I'm physically eating his body or drinking his blood. But in type, he's given us a picture. And that's exactly what this hard saying was that they could not handle. So they begin to back up on the Lord. They miss this spiritual truth. And they said it's a hard saying. Then Jesus knew in himself that his disciples murmured at it. And he said unto them, doth this offend you? Of course, he knew it did. They didn't understand. And he said, what if ye shall see the Son of Man ascend up where he was before? Now, he is going to ascend. He has not here, of course, but he is going to. Can you imagine? Now, the ones that watched him ascend was the believers that day, but you could imagine a man ascend up out of sight. They couldn't believe that either, if they couldn't believe the spiritual truth that he was teaching them here. He was saying there's more to come. If you're stumbling over this, wait till the deeper things come and the bigger truths come. You're certainly going to be offended then. So I would say to you here, folks, when you read the Word of God, don't stop where you don't understand. Keep on searching the Word, and it will reveal to you and give you the truth. And pray and ask God, Lord, I don't understand this. I don't understand it right now. Maybe you'll show it to me later. I'll keep reading. Have you ever read the Bible and all of a sudden you see the light almost shine on the page and all of a sudden you get the truth? It just kind of, I mean, you might have read that place many times, but now it's different. God does give the light. He is able to do that. And he does that with his children. And again, if you have the Holy Spirit born again, and the truth is, a man is born with the spirit of a man. But what is born again is the Spirit. Remember John chapter 3? What is born of spirit is spirit. Well, the truth of the matter is, when you're born again, your spirit is made alive to God. You have the Spirit of God that moves in. The new birth takes place. I've often said this. A man is body, soul, and spirit. He's a trinity like God. Body, soul, and spirit. A man that is... You can make the analogy. Anybody know an old-fashioned car tire used to have tubes in them? Do you know what I'm talking about? Anybody? I know they don't now, but they used to have tubes in them. Or if you took a basketball, it had a tube inside the leather cover, remember? All right, there's three parts to that ball. There's three parts to that tire. There's the outside part, like the human body is the outside part. The inside part, the tube. That's your soul, shaped just like the outside body. If we could stand this body and throw it aside, you'd still see me standing up here in a shape like my body, filled out on the inside, my soul. Inside that soul is a spirit. It's man's spirit, and when a man receives Christ and the Holy Spirit comes in, that spirit is renewed. Now listen to me, the spirit is like the air in the basketball or the air in the car tire. John chapter 3, Jesus used the illustration of the wind. You know, without your wind, you don't live. Without breath, you don't make it. You got to have it. You know, if you're not born again, you're a flat tire. All right. I'm trying to get you to think. You got to have that spirit inside renewed. You've got to be born again. And the truth is, that makes a difference when the Lord lives inside of you in His Spirit. Amen. He'll help you through the hard truths and things you might not understand and get a hold of. But the Word of God interprets itself, and God uses it to bring enlightenment to you when you read it. I challenge you today, don't be like these disciples that went away with a hard saying. Give God a chance to reveal the truth to you. All right, but time's up. I still can't make half sense out of that new clock. It's like that warning we had this morning. It may not be all that accurate. All right, here's the report.